Mr. Walker, Reel 2. We're talking about your time. When, by now, you were in the 2nd 544 Headquarters Squadron and based at Runfold. You joined them there. You're not quite sure when, but sometime in the spring or a bit later of 1940. And they were doing quite a bit of exercise on the South Downs and on the Hog's Back. They're looking for parachutists, things like that. What do you remember of that? Not a lot of that. So you don't remember that period at Runfold much at all, the South Downs?
Well, I remember the South Downs.
What about that?
The Hog's Back. And I had an aunt who lived in Sutton. And I used to go and see that little sheep on there because the lads got weekend pass. You know where they were. So I got extra passes. And I would say two weekends out of 4 hours. She was starting at lunch for the weekend.
And then the next thing after Dunkirk, that they went off to Ireland, didn't they?
We landed in Dungarvan.
Do you remember much about the journey? You would.
Well, we moved up to Stranraer, south of Dublin, and then by road to Dungarvan.
And you driving the vehicles?
Yeah.
And what was the situation in Dungannon?
Very good.
How did you get on with the locals?
Very good. There was two streets of out of bounds.
Why was that?
That was for the not friendly people were living.
Republicans?
Yeah, you could say that. These two streets were out of bounds, but the rest of the people down the garden were pretty. We went to dance with them, pubs, played darts with them. They were really nice people.
And after that, what while you were there, what were you doing in Dungannon? What were your main duties?
Training, finding out the country.
You're still a driver?
Yeah.
Taking rations to people, driving people about that, that's it.
Well, I mean, we did exercises, so all the vehicles were needed.
What would an exercise be like for you as a driver?
Well, quite interesting. I mean, we drove different trucks. Like one. The rations, petrol, ammunition, spears.
B echelon work, B and A echelon work.
Yeah.
And what about, there's a bit of, you moved just before Christmas, didn't you? Did you go back to Dungannon for Christmas? Because apparently they arranged special transport and things.
Yeah.
You might have been driving it.
We moved to Bessbrook from Dungannon. And then the parties never ended. So we went back. Those who went on. Got taken back to.
Did you go back?
No.
And what about Bessbrook? What was that like compared to Dungannon?
Entirely different. It was much smaller, and the squadrons split up there. Some in the schooner, some in the truck.
Were the civilians as friendly?
Yes.
And
that's for a few. The Irish people I met have been never understand how they've got this war going on there. People were so nice.
And the next, unless there's anything else about Ireland, they moved back to Whitby, didn't they?
Yeah.
and they were converted into an armoured regiment, so that, you know, a part of 11th Div, eventually Armoured Div.
11th Armoured Div was formed in 50. We were 29th Armoured Brigade. And they had an infantry brigade along with us. No, it was all tanks. Both brigades were tanks to start with. And then they changed it to having an infantry division and a tank section in the 29th Armoured Brigade. And the half of the 1th Armoured Brigade was within border for Ayrshire Yeomanry. And a tank regiment, an English tank regiment. They formed the main town of the region.
So, now how did that affect the regiment? Because you lost these vehicles and were given your first real tanks, weren't you? Do you remember which tanks they were? Or would that not bother you much from transport?
I think it was from Valentine's, I think.
What did you think of the Valentine's?
Oh, it was pretty good. I mean, it was a new tank. I don't know. It was what we were issued with. It was a 2-pounder gun on it, I remember that. And I think it was a Visa machine gun.
And you were still on the driving side, driving transport?
Yeah. I was driving tanks as well at that time.
Now, when had you started doing that? Probably then. What was it like to drive a Valentine? And what were the controls? How did it all work?
Well, it was rack and control, two levers, and then you stopped one track and the other I remember you're going down a hill. I remember this well. You're going down a hill. And we had the tank overtook the engine, and you pulled this rack on. Instead of going that way, you went that way, because the gearbox was being driven in reverse then.
So it's reverse steering?
Yeah, it reversed itself.
And what would you do when you got that? I mean, what was the way of stopping it?
The only way you could do was put your foot in it. Get the engine revs up higher than the speed of the vehicle.
Did it cause accidents, that?
Oh, lucky.
And what sort of... which squadron were you driving Valentine's with? Or was it still with the headquarter squadron tanks?
Yeah.
So, and why were you driving tanks? Was it just a policy of training more people?
Oh, yes. It was to increase your training.
And did you like driving it, driving tanks, or were you happier on the vehicles, the lorries?
I was happy driving.
Yeah. But you weren't putting a crew at that time, or were you?
No, I was with it too.
They formed a tank.
Actually, getting trained as reserve drivers.
So you'd be part of a reserve crew? And what sort of exercise, did you go on exercises with the Valentines at Whitby? What were they like, actually, with the tanks?
Well, roughly the moors. We practically lived on the moors until the winter when we moved into Whitby.
Were they tough, the exercises?
Yeah.
Did you have any special friends by this time in the unit that you were...
Oh, I had.
Who were your main friends at the time?
Mark Cruikshanks. He was an Englishman. I can't remember his name.
That's all right. And what about your NCOs? How did you get on with them?
most of them were going up the old one was a bit difficult.
And the officers? Who was your officer?
Captain Melville was my chief.
What was he like?
Very good.
What made a good officer for you? What was, you know, you get an officer.
Who you looked up to, would follow, and was understanding. That's why we have to do. We looked up to him, and he was a help if you had any problems. And that's it.
Any other officers? Who was the squadron commander at the time, the headquarters squadron commander?
Alistair Mann.
What was he like?
Well, he was a bit of
what was
he was a straight man. He wouldn't ask you to do anything he couldn't do himself. But he got disciplined for the least little thing.
He was over strict for you.
Yeah. Well, I was following anyway. I remember when we were in Ireland, it came out that all tank crews had to do route marches. Well, we'd never done a route march before. And Colonel Martinfish decided that a good test would be to climb right over the mountains of Mull. And we had this little boat. Phil Levy, his name was Lee Dewboy, but it was like football, and he said, I can't do that. And the officer says, there's no such word as can't. I can't and I will. And he always got in Shepherd's Creek instead of an officer's team, and he hooked the creek. And then Levy's with us, and he pulled him over the middle to the one. And you're going to get a better example on an officer than that. Make sure that Levy did it, same as everybody else.
Any other officers from headquarters company you remember? You'd see the Colonel, I suppose,
yeah.
McIntosh. What do you think of him? What was so good about him?
He's a gentleman winner. One of ours, actually, you could say. Because he'd been in college all the time before the war started. He left and formed the Phantoms. That was out in the desert. His regiment got behind the enemy and did a lot of damage.
And what about the next two, Sword and Cooper? Do you remember them?
Yeah.
What were they like?
I don't mean much about Colonel Sword, but Cooper. He was a banker, and he was one of the strictest lads. He'd worked himself up from the ranks.
Was he a good officer?
Well,
he's supposed to have got rid of quite a few officers, including Nairn. Were you aware of that?
Yes.
What did you know about that?
Well, him being from the ranks, he just... The officers he got rid of were on the next territory. Any regular officers, they were okay.
Do you think he was fair, the officers he removed? People like Nairn. I think he went then, didn't he?
Well, in a sense, we all said it was a blessing. Because I don't think if Alistair had gone to the beaches, he would have come off them.
Why? Can you explain?
But that was just a sort of hateful feeling.
I thought you said you'd follow him anywhere, you know.
Yes, I would.
You would, but some of the others wouldn't. Yeah. So some of the men disliked him more than you did. But some did. What had he done to annoy him? And so we're looking at the officers. Anything else about your time at Whitby? Because they were there quite a while, weren't they?
Yeah.
At Whitby.
Oh, yes. We've gone back to Whitby every year since the war. And only have one old friend left now, and she's 104. We don't go holidays now.
So you got on well with the local population?
Oh, yeah.
What did they do for you? I mean,
well, they were friendly. They take us in their home. Sunday lunch. Next to the shipmates.
Now the next move would be up to Brighton, I think, Hove and yeah. Brighton. What do you remember of that period? I don't think that much happened there, but and then after that they were at Farnham Camp, outside. I've forgot the name. Outside Bury St Edmunds,
yeah.
and then Chippenham. What do you remember of that? Well, Bury St Edmunds first. Yeah. What about Chippenham Camp?
I remember Chippenham. We were in a league. It's a new marker. We used to walk in the new marker. And the village of Shulam, I was just starting to think of it. The village was a very good chance for even church, parties, dances. And we were there actually as a defence for the airfield.
They got the Churchills and they had Churchills and Covenanters. Do you remember that?
I don't remember any.
You don't remember the tanks? Were you still on? Had you finished with the tanks for a while? Or were you still on the transport or
I was a transporter.
And that's your main job still. So you didn't see much of the tanks there.
Yeah. We still had to go and do a week. Every so often, just to sort of keep your hand in. And we did courses on a new type of tank because, well, it worked out that as soon as a driver was killed or that, there was a vehicle driver who took over the tank and someone else took over the vehicle.
And that. So you kept your eye in on the new tanks, but you don't remember the Churchill or the Covenanter particularly. Yeah. The next move after Chippenham, probably down to Rudston and then Bridlington.
Yeah.
What do you remember of that?
Well, Rudston was just a wee village. Running there long.
And then into Bridlington.
And then into Bridlington.
Now, the big thing there is the arrival of the Shermans. Now, you'd have to do a course on them. Yeah. What did you think of the Sherman?
It was a good tank. And so we went in the metal was too brittle, and it just flaked. We lost a ton of men in the
But when you got them, what did you think of them when you got them? Before you went into action with them?
They had a steam crew. That was the main difference. But a good tank to handle.
Were they faster?
They were a wee bit faster.
And what about the gun? It was a 75mm. Yeah. Did that seem good at the time?
Oh, it was a great change for his sex further. And he publicised that. That's the amount of memories.
Oh, you're doing fine. And what about the... Did you go on exercise? There's some big exercises around that town.
Bumper, remember? We've come right up into the Newcastle area for that. And,
what were you doing? Were you on the trucks or on the tanks?
I was on the tanks at that time. And I think it was about 5 divisions that were in on that exercise. I remember it because we passed the village where I was sister lived. And we were going across this level crossing. And I just heard the voice, "Oh, the injury!" And later on, we knew that it was my sister. Sister-in-law. But the actual, at that time, exercises were getting boring. You know, you didn't take, you had to do them and take as much interest, make them as interesting as possible, but there was other people the same thing coming back.
Now, you'd been...
It was the country.
Now, you were... They'd been meant to go over in Operation Torch, and in fact, some of the tanks and the men went, didn't they?
Yeah.
But it was cancelled, and they kept cancelling things. How did you feel about... Did you want to get overseas and into action, or would you rather be safe in England?
Well, I wanted to get into action.
So you weren't nervous at all?
No.
They went up for a firing range in Scotland. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Lennyhead.
I think it was Kirkcudbright. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you remember of that? What was the firing practice like?
Well, you fired it over the water there. Live ammo. And then started.
So, for you as a driver, not much?
Oh, I had to take part in the firing.
What, you had to go on the guns?
Oh, everybody was taught to use the guns.
So you were all taught all the jobs in a tank? Because you'd done some wireless operating as well, hadn't you?
Well, every new part of equipment you got, everything was treated.
And then the next thing, you went to Aldershot again before you went onto D-Day, and they said I think you were in Warburg Barracks. And what about the waterproofing there? Were you involved in that much? Because the main thing they seem to have done was waterproof the tanks and the vehicles there.
No, that was at Bridlington, isn't it?
At where?
Bridlington. We left Bridlington to go across. We landed in Silverton on the Thames and just threw down that way around the whole area. Everybody was civilians and everything was sealed in. I'm sure it was a print.
So you did the waterproofing in Bridlington. What do you remember of the waterproofing?
Well, I'd come up to Dundonald in Ayrshire. I thought it was just Dundonald up here. And when I walked through the course, and I was kept up, I was up here for 3 months, I was kept as an instructor. I used to sail to Dundonald across to Elven. There was a sort of a bay. We went to one side of the bay to the other. Now, the person who waterproofed the vehicle had to test it.
And how did you go about waterproofing it? Do you remember?
Yeah, we had paste and all the electrics were covered in this piece, I had a name. It was asbestos and some painted jelly. No, it was, went all for the spark plugs and the leads. And we had special tops to put over them, plates to screw on. And waterproof cloth, which we stuck down with exposure wire laser. And it was a line deep plus 12.
Now, when you'd done the waterproof and you said you had to test it, how did you test it?
We tested it on the water up at Dundonald and did it over again. It proved, it let the operator see how him pressing the button released all this waterproof cloth.
That it blew, the explosive wire blew the cloth away.
And then the landed at BO. We had to clean all the waterproof and grease and stuff off the engine. The engine exhaust was extended up above the height of the tank.
Now, when you went over, were you still a driver with headquarters squadron, a reserve tank driver, or had you been? You hadn't been put in a squadron yet.
I was in a squadron, HQ squadron.
But you, sorry, but you hadn't been given a tank.
No.
You were a spare driver. What do you remember of the crossing? That would be 16th, 17th, sometime around there of June.
Not very much. We got on the landing craft outside the thing, went down the Thames. We were at sea, I think 3 days, waiting on room to open.
That was at Arromanch?
Yeah.
And what happened when you landed?
Well, we got in line and we were reserve regiment then.
Was that the period they were at Cully?
Yeah. Our first action was, well, first main action was Cully.
The attack on Sher. CHEUX. There's part, it's Show, sorry. That's Operation Epsom, I think we call that, 26th of June. What about the there was about 2 weeks before that when you were just sat in fields, I think, as you said, there was a river. What was that like?
Well, it was just a waiting period. It was very boring, what I remember.
Would you get your first compo rations then?
Yeah.
What did you think of compo rations? Why? What was good about them? What were they? Can you explain?
Well, it was all thin stuff, and we were lucky we got American rations the first time. And the food we'd been having, I mean, the thin food, the thin stew, pudding and everything, was really marvellous to eat. On the way over, we had American rations, and the soup. The magnesium core down the middle of the tin, when you opened it, the soup didn't boil ready for it. I was surprised that some manufacturers didn't put it on the market after the war. Very handy. We used to punch a hole in the tin and wire it to the exhaust manifold for the vehicle so that from a stock we'd have got meal ready. The one thing. And then those punctured the tin of cheese. The label has come up anywhere that on it, it's tin of cheese. When you try it all, blew all over them.